Everyone from around the world in the chat room or on the phone, welcome to In the Studio with Linus here on the Essence of Success Radio Network. We discuss hot topics, news of the day, and tackling hard subject matter. We may not always be on the same page or agreement. That's what makes this show special. You're entitled to agree or disagree. Isn't that wonderful? Keep an open mind and continue to think outside of the box. As a close friend told me, The Truth is a Lie, which also is a book by that title. Author is Harry Pisanis. Please join us in the chat room with your opinions or call us on the show phone, 646-727-2914. That's 646-727-2914. And the website is www.theessenceofsuccess.net. It is there a subject you would like to see us discuss? Well, contact us on the website, and you can leave a message at the bottom of the main page. Or you can go to Facebook, and we have a page over there, the Essence of Success Radio Network. We are here to empower you and make you think. We don't have all the answers, but we will find the questions to be answered and understood. Thank you for supporting and listening to the show. My hope that each show will give you food for thought, as they say, something to think about and discuss around the water cooler. Okay, well, the first thing, I'll go back to sports, but I want to do this right now because the Stanley playoffs are going on. As you know, it's the Blues and the Bruins. St. Louis Blues and the Boston Bruins are playing right now. Is 3-3. This is game 7, so anybody can win this. It's on right now on ABC. I'm not telling you to leave the show. I'd rather you stay here and listen to my show. But if you're a hockey fan, I'm sorry, it's NBC. They're live right now on NBC playing. So if you want to maybe look at that and listen to the radio, okay? So you don't miss out, because we're going to have a good show today. But I just wanted to let you know that because it's live and it's on right now. Now, I will come back to sports later in the show and talk about the NBA. Okay, so let's get to our news at hand. Well, the first thing, I just thought this was very important, and I wanted to share this. It's about seniors facing foreclosure. In a stealth aftershock of the Great Recession, nearly 100,000 loans that allowed senior citizens to tap into their home equity have failed, blindsiding elderly borrowers and their families and dragging down property values in their neighborhood. In many cases, the worst toll has fallen on those ill-equipped to shoulder it. Urban African Americans, many of whom worked for most of their lives and then found themselves struggling in retirement. Alarming reports from federal investigators 5 years ago led the Department of Housing and Urban Development to initiate a series of changes to protect seniors. USA Today, a review of government foreclosure data, found a generation of families fell through the cracks and continue to suffer from reverse mortgage loans written a decade ago. You think they're a little behind, y'all? Anyway, these elderly homeowners are wooed into borrowing money through the special program by attracting sale pitches or a dire need for cash, or both. When they miss a paperwork deadline or fell behind on taxes or insurance, lenders move in swiftly to foreclose on the home. These foreclosures wiped out hard-earned generational wealth built in the decades since the Fair Housing Act of 1968. Leroy Roebuck, 86, rode the bus his entire career to a nearby curtain manufacturer. When he needed to make home repairs, he turned to reverse mortgages after seeing an ad on television. Well, 10 years ago, he forgot to renew his homeowner's insurance, which cost about $2,000 a year, including fees and penalties. His loan server says he now owes more than $20,000. Well, you know what? I want to back up here a minute. If he forgot, how did y'all let that go for 10 years? It's like you wanted him to fail. If after the first year you didn't receive insurance payment from him, why didn't you guys notify him? Then the let 10 years pass, now he owes $20,000 and is probably going to be out of his house. That doesn't make sense. You administrative people need to do better. Roebuck's first foreclosure notice came in the mail 6 years ago, and he is still fighting to hold on to the brick wallop he bought from his parents in 1970, living in it through a special health exemption to foreclosure. "I told my son never, they ain't going to take this house," Roebuck said. "I'll go to the deep blue sea. They're not going to take this house." Elderly homeowners and their adult children told similar stories in big city neighborhoods across the United States of America. Borrowers living near the poverty line in pockets of Chicago, Baltimore, Miami, and Detroit, Philadelphia, and Jacksonville, Florida, are among the hardest hit, according to a first-of-its-kind analyst of more than $1.3 million loan records. USA Today worked in partnership with Grand Valley State University, which supports from the McGraw Center for Business Journalism. Consumer advocates say the analysis support what they have compiled about for years, that unscrupulously lenders target low-income black neighborhoods and encourage elderly homeowners to borrow money while glossing over the risk, y'all, and the requirements. In other words, they didn't explain everything truthfully. USA Today found that reverse mortgages end in foreclosure 6 times more often in predominantly black neighborhoods than in neighborhoods that are 80% white. Even comparing only poor areas, black neighborhoods fare worse. In zip codes where most residents make less than $40,000 a year, the analysts found reverse mortgage foreclosure rates were 6 times higher in black neighborhoods than in white ones. The foreclosure disparity resembles a more familiar scenario from the late 2000s when subprime lenders targeted Pacific neighborhoods with risky loans doomed to fail, according to the nation's lead reverse mortgage researcher. Yeah, because they go in and they call it redlining, where they get all the minorities out and they bring everybody else back in. Yeah, we went through this in Washington. More in this series, 10 questions you need to look up to ask before getting a reverse mortgage. Reverse mortgages can be risky. You need to find out what ways it is and to fix them. What are reverse mortgages and how do they work? You definitely need to look that up and read it through its entirely. And how we investigate reverse mortgage foreclosures. So do take your time and pull that up on the internet, okay? And get an answer to those questions. Stephanie Moulton, Associate Professor of Public Policy at Ohio State University, said cash-strapped minority borrowers were easy targets for bad apples, reverse mortgage lenders capitalizing on a market shunned by traditional lenders. These areas had demand, and they couldn't access credit any other way, she said. In hundreds of reverse mortgages default cases reviewed by USA Today, the homeowners' original financial needs were basic. The kinds of challenges, house repairs, and medical bills that those with easier access to credit and more disposable income can weather with a second traditional mortgage or home equity loan. Brokers desperate to replace income loss from the real estate crash with new commissions didn't wait around for homeowners to come in seeking reverse mortgages either. They went to where they knew people needed money and sometimes walked door to door targeting houses with decaying roofs or leaky windows. Door hangers advertised a tax-free benefit for seniors. Sherelle Parker, a councilwoman on Philadelphia's north side, called reverse mortgages a scourge on her community that has put unnecessary financial and emotional strain on seniors. Not only has this area weathered more foreclosures, but the damage cuts deeper. Now that asset, that equity, is being drained out of some of the most vulnerable communities in America. We have asked, why was Philadelphia targeted to get these loan products? Okay, so now I'm going to tell you, if you guys want to go back and read a little bit more about this to understand it, it's on the website. Go to Blog News. Seniors face foreclosure on the website, Blog News, in case you missed any of that, what I just talked about. Okay. All right, now we're coming to Power. This is entertainment. Power to End, sixth season. You know, it's on Stars. The upcoming sixth season of the Courtney Kemp created and Curtis 50 Cent Jackson, executive producer of New York City underground drama, will be the last for the Stars series. However, the 15th episode, August 25th, premiering The Final Betrayal, season won't be the end of the Dirty Deeds. For the premium cable's top offering as planned spinoffs are ready in the pipeline. Woo-woo! We will follow some of your beloved Power characters beyond the scope of the initial series, proclaim E.P. Kemp today, of the next phases in the world she fashioned. But we will play with your expectations of which characters, where, and the master timeline of it all, creating a Power universe as unpredictable as the original. Whispers of the Power spinoff were first exclusively revealed by Deadline last October when Kemp inked a rich new overall deal with Starz parent company Lionsgate. Though there were no significant details of which characters from the Amari Hardwick and Naturi Naughton, Lila Lauren, and Joseph Sikori led and Gary Lennon co-showrun Power are graduating to their own Starz series. We hear that a writer's room was already been formed for at least one of the spinoffs. 50 Cent first broke the news of the end of the series at the multiple spinoffs this morning online. Season 6 brings us to the end of what we know is just the first chapter of the Power story. Starz programming boss Carmen Zanatic said Thursday of the cabler's clear crown jewel. However, as one chapter comes to an end, another will begin. Courtney Kemp and 50 Cent have created a world which will complex and dynamic characters, and there are a number of stories we plan to tell as we continue to explore and expand the Power universe. While we don't know for sure, y'all, yet, what those new stories will be, we do know that the Supersize Season 6 is up 50% in episodes from Season 5. We'll see the Power editorial debut of 50 Cent with the third episode of the upcoming season. The last five seasons of Powers have been an incredible ride for me and all of our supporting fans, starting the hip-hop superstar whose Kanan character, which is 50 Cent, was killed off last season. We are far from over, and I am excited to bring you more from the Power brand, Jackson said today, perhaps hinting more Kanan could be coming as an offspring of his own overall deal with Starz. I am proud that I was able to put a lasting stamp on this chapter with my directorial debut as an episode that features one of the wildest scenes ever on the show. We also learned today that Emmy winner Anthony Hemingway will helm the series finale. It's a closing of the circle of sorts as the American Crime Story, the People vs. O.J. Simpson alumni, directed the first two episodes of Power when the two-time NAACP Image Award winning series debuted in June 2014. Of course, 50 being 50, Jackson also teased the final betrayal announcement earlier today online backstage at ABC Straw Hand and Sarah, which is also Good Morning America. Huh? Okay. Well, with that, you're listening to In the Studio with Linus here on the Essence of Success Radio Network. We're going to take a short break and be right back, so don't you go nowhere. We got some more scoopity scoop coming at you. All right.
Thank you.
And you're back. We're listening to In the Studio with Linus here on the Essence of Success Radio Network. The phone number to the show is 646-727-2914. That's 646-727-2914. So if you were listening to the show earlier, I gave you the hockey playoff. It's going on right now, and it's on NBC. This is the final game between the Bruins, Boston Bruins, and Toronto. Yeah, I think that's right. No, not Toronto. It's the Boston Bruins and the Blues. That's it. So they're on NBC. But, no, come on back. Listen to the show and then go watch the game. Okay, our next article up, and if you missed the last article, I talked about foreclosures and the elderly, how they're some of the elderly people don't realize that when they reverse mortgage, I'm sorry, y'all, which is for it goes into foreclosure. When you do reverse mortgage, yeah, you have the money you have to appear about, no. But if you miss your insurance or whatever payment that should have come out, they can automatically take your house, and your kids are not going to get it. It goes back to the government. So I would tell you to go into my website, www.theessenceofsuccess.net, and read that article. Go through and read that article again and make sure that you have a pure understanding before you sign anything off. And if you're not sure about reverse mortgage, then get an attorney and have him to look through the paperwork before you put your John Doe on there, okay? All right, next up, we're talking about Facebook feds go undercover. Yes, you heard me, and it's not just Facebook. It's MySpace, LinkedIn, and Twitter, too. United States law enforcement agents are following the rest of the Internet world into popular social networking services, going undercover with false online profiles. I don't like that. To communicate with suspects and gather private information, according to an internal Justice Department document that offers a tantalizing glimpse of issues related to privacy and crime fighting. Think you know who's behind that friend request? Think again. Your new friend just might be the FBI. The document obtained in a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit makes clear that U.S. agents are already logging on surreptitiously to exchange messages with suspects, identity a target, friends, or relative, and browse private information such as postings, personal photographs, and video clips. Among other purposes, investigators can check suspects' alibis by comparing stories told to police with tweets sent at the same time about their whereabouts, online photos from a suspicious spending spree, people posing with jewelry, guns, or fancy cars can link suspects or their friends to robberies or burglaries. Yeah, because you stupid fucks put everything on Facebook. You know, face the person, don't Facebook. And then also, if you out there doing wrong, why the hell do you put that on Facebook like that's funny? I guess it's funny you serving 10 or 20 years in jail then, huh? That must be what time it is. The Electronic Frontier Foundation, a San Francisco-based civil liberties group, obtained the Justice Department document. What it sued the agencies and five others in federal court. The 33-page document underscores the importance of social networking sites to United States authorities. The foundation said it would publish the document on its website on Tuesday. With agents going undercover, state and local police coordinate their online activities with the Secret Service and FBI and other federal agencies in a strategy known as deconfiction to keep out of each other's way. You can really mess up someone's investigation because you're investigating the same person and maybe doing things that are counterproductive to what another agency is doing. A decade ago, agents kept watch over AOL and MSN chat rooms to nab sexual predators. But those text-only chat services are old school compared with today's social media, which contains mountains of personal data, photographs, videos, and audio clips, a potential treasure trove of evidence for cases of violent crime, financial fraud, and much more. The Justice Department document, part of the presentation given in August of last year by top cybercrime officials, describes the value of Facebook, Twitter, MySpace, LinkedIn, and other services to government investigators. It does not describe in details the boundaries for using them. It doesn't really discuss any mechanism for accountability or ensuring that government agents use those tools responsibly, okay? The group sued in Washington State to force the government to disclose its policies for using social networking sites in investigations, data collections, and surveillance. The foundation also obtained an Internal Revenue Service document that instructs employees on how to use Internet tools, including social network sites, to investigate taxpayers. The document states that IRS employees are barred from using deception or creating fake accounts to get information, a directive the group says is commendable. Covert investigations on social networking services are legal and governed by internal rules, according to the Justice Department, but they would not say what those rules are, okay? The Justice Department document raises a legal question about a social media bullying case in which U.S. prosecutor charged a Missouri woman with computer fraud for creating a fake MySpace account, effectively the same activity that undercover agents are doing, although for different purposes. The woman, Lori Drew, helped create an account for a fictitious teen boy on MySpace and send flirtatious messages to a 13-year-old neighborhood girl in his name. The girl hanged herself. Oh, my God. Jesus Christ. The girl hanged herself in October 2006 in a St. Louis suburb after she received a message saying the world would be better without her. A jury in California where MySpace has its servers convicted Drew of three misdemeanor counts of accessing computers without authorization because she was accused of violating MySpace rules against creating fake accounts. But last year, a judge overturned the verdict, citing the vagueness of the law. If agents violate terms of service, is that otherwise illegal activity? I mean, you know, we're just saying we want to know. What's the difference between them and the other woman? It doesn't provide an answer. Facebook's rules, for example, specify that users will not provide any false personal information on Facebook or create an account for anyone other than yourself without permission. Twitter rules prohibit its users from sending deceptive or false information. MySpace requires that information for accounts be truthful and accurate. A former United States cybersecurity prosecutor, Mark Zinwiller, said investigators should be able to go undercover in the online world the same way they do in the real world, even if such conduct is barred by a company's rules. But there have to be limits, he said. In the face-to-face world, agents can't impersonate suspects, spouse, child, parent, or best friend, but online behind the guise of a social networking account, they can. Well, that's like the blind leading the blind. You guys are becoming very, it's not only convicting, it is controversial. This new situation presents a need for careful oversight so the law enforcement does not use social networking to intrude on some of our most personal relationships. Hello. Undercover operations aren't necessary if the suspect is reckless. Federal authorities nabbed a man wanted on bank fraud charges after he started posting Facebook updates about the fun he was having in Mexico. Well, that's your dumb ass. You should have got caught and went to jail. But the government warned prosecutors to advise their own witnesses not to discuss cases on social media sites and to think carefully about what they post. I want to thank you, okay, because people put everything from the rooter to the tooter on there, or either they have scandalous pictures, excuse me, of women showing their breasts or other parts of their body. And I'm like, really, Facebook, you allow this? Facebook has already been in trouble, y'all, about the Russian gate thing. But the government warned prosecutors to advise their own witnesses not to discuss the case. It also cautioned federal law enforcement officials to think prudently before adding judges or defense counsel as friends on these services. Social networking and the courtroom can be a dangerous combination, the government said. Yes, because there really is no staunch rules or guidelines on all these social media. That's why it just blankets people, whether it's political, bullying, sexual, dating, whatever. There's nothing really they can do. Now you're talking about bringing undercover people. Well, you're just as bad as the people that are catfishing and whatever else that they're doing out there on social media. So what's the difference? I want to see how you hold on to a case after doing this. That's my interest. How are you going to hold on to a case about that? Okay. Let's see. Well, I'll tell you what. We'll take a quick little break. It's about the time right now, 6:33 on the West Coast, and it's 9:33 on the East Coast. All right, we'll be right back in five. Don't you go nowhere. I know I told you about hockey, but you stay here. We got about 25 more minutes. All right.
Tell me a secret. I don't just want to know about any secret of yours. I want to know about one special secret. Because tonight I want to learn all about the secrets in your garden.
I want to read your mind. Know your deep feelings. I want to make it right for you. Baby, show me, and then shall I miss me. Oh,
come on.
Listen to your heart tonight.
I've got the secret key to you, baby. Let's make music harmonizing.
Thank you.
That's what a man is supposed to do. And I'll be there for you all the time. Let your hair down. Let me get you in the mood. Take me with you.
Welcome back. You're listening to In the Studio with Linus here on the Essence of Success Radio Network. The phone number to the show is 646-727-2914, 646-727-2914. All right. Y'all, you just don't know. It's like 90 degrees up here in Washington. It's beautiful outside. It's a little warm, little toasty. Your girl's a little sweaty and stuff. But anyway, we're going to make it through. All right, so the next article I want to talk to you about is screening for prostate cancer. Which men? So get your dad, get your grandpa, or your uncle, and tell them tune in now on their iPad or their phone or on the internet, whatever, because I'm going to discuss screening for prostate cancer, okay? And this is very good. This is Dr. Prasad. I'm using his article and Dr. T. Kawal. Okay, so what is a prostate? The prostate gland is found only in males. Hope you got your dad and your uncle or your brothers, whatever, to hear this, where it secretes fluid during ejaculation. It is situated beneath the bladder and in front of the rectum and surrounds the urethra or urine passage. It is approximately 20 grams, about the size of a walnut. Normally, but can become enlarged with increasing age or disease. So who gets prostate cancer, and is there a treatment? Any male can be affected by prostate cancer. However, Your risk increases with age and a positive family history, which means if, you know, other people in your family have had some type of cancer, then it's a possibility you could get cancer, maybe not prostate or something. So that's why they go through your family history to see if it's a prone there. Being Afro-Trinidad also puts you at a higher risk. If you are diagnosed with this condition, do not despair, as treatment options exist, but vary depending on the disease stage. Some people, treatment options include surgery, radiation therapy, and hormone therapy, and sometimes even close observation, treating only if necessary. Are there symptoms of prostate cancer? Symptoms may vary widely depending on the extent of the disease present. In its early stages, most men have no symptoms. Patients may have problems passing urine, or they might see blood in their urine. Bone pain, weight loss, though not specific to prostate cancer, but it can occur in advanced disease, so you want to be cognizant and observant. Why should you be screened? Hello, men. Local data has shown that prostate cancer is a leading cause of cancer deaths in males. In fact, the Caribbean has the highest age-specific mortality of prostate cancer in the world. Additionally, according to one local study, most of our prostate cancer patients are Afro-Trinidad, and their ethnic group is more likely to have aggressive diseases. The purpose of screening is to detect prostate cancer early on, before it has spread. Therefore, curative treatment can be delivered to the patient. There has been debate about whether screening works. However, large-scale studies have shown that screening saves lives, and given that our population is at high risk, we believe that screening may be even more beneficial in our setting. New guidelines are being proposed and have suggestions men should consider starting annual screening at age 40 to 50. Do you hear me, guys? 40 to 50, you should be having prostate screening. And with those with a strong, and definitely if you have a strong family history of cancer. Okay. Now, how do you get screened? Well, screening is done via blood tests, and a PSA, and by examination of the prostate. Most urologists, which is the male doctors, still recommend the rectal examination, as some cancers can occur even with normal blood tests, and your prostate exam may provide the only clue. PSA means prostate-specific antigen. It is a substance found in the blood and is produced by the prostate. The most worrisome cause of a high PSA is prostate cancer, but it may also be elevated in men with large prostates or even in infections. Your doctor will be able to interpret your PSA reading and repeat it if necessary. DRE, that's a digital rectal examination. Most men are apprehensive about undergoing this. However, it is quite simple. It is not painful at all, guys. It is performed while the patient lies on his side, with the doctor inserting one glove finger into the anus and rectum. There is no trauma or damage to the anus. The prostate is felt for any nodules or any irregularities. It often takes only a few seconds, and enlarged prostate doesn't always mean prostate cancer. These tests do not diagnose prostate cancer. Instead, they raise our suspicion. If either test is abnormal, you may need a biopsy of the prostate, where 12 small bites are taken from the prostate and examined under the microscope for cancer. This is done under local anesthesia, and you are discharged after the procedure. Increasingly, MRI scans are being utilized to help us diagnose prostate cancer, particularly in men who have had a persistently high PSA and a negative biopsy. You should talk to your doctor about the screening process and discuss the potential implications and what that might mean for you. Excuse me. Okay. Let's see. Before we go back to sports, I think I have another article here, so let me just check. And it's not on that one. So, let's see. Hold on now. Bear with me. I went and did the wrong thing to pull the article. So bear with me. I'll have it just a second here. Hope everybody's having a good week so far, that things are going well in your life. I hope. Okay. Oh, I got one for you. Hello. George Conway, Pence open ed calling for Trump impeachment proceedings. I thought you'd like that one. Lawyer George Conway, along with law professor Neil Katyal, with Neil Katyal, penned an op-ed published in the Washington Post today calling for impeachment proceedings against President Trump to begin. Katyal and Conway, the husband of White House counselor Kellyanne Conway and a frequent critic of Trump on Twitter, says Trump's court filings argued he cannot be investigated by Congress in the most recent indicator that lawmakers should begin impeachment proceedings. Trump filed a brief in the nation's second most important court that takes a position that Congress cannot investigate the president except possibly in impeachment proceedings. It is a spectacular anti-constitutional brief, and anyone who harbors such attitudes toward our Constitution architecture is not fit for office, the two men wrote. The two lawyers wrote, the brief is nothing if not an invitation to commencing impeachment proceedings that, for reasons set out in the Mueller report, should have already commenced. Hello, somebody. I'm with you guys. Conway and Katyal are referring to an appeals brief filed by Trump's lawyers in the United States District Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia that argues against the House Committee on Oversight and Reform's ongoing probe into Trump's business ventures and whether he broke the law by committing financial and tax fraud. Well, yeah, he did. The brief reportedly says Congress is trying to prove that the president broke the law and that something Congress can't do because it's, quote unquote, an exercise of law enforcement that the Constitution reserves to the executive branch, quote unquote. The drumbeat of Democratic lawmakers calling for impeachment proceedings to begin has been growing, particularly increasing after special counsel Robert Mueller gave his only public comments regarding the findings of his support. To this point, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has tempered the conversation about impeaching Trump, pointing to the lack of Republican support outside of Representative Justin Amash, Republican of Michigan, who has been the only Republican to support opening impeachment proceedings, Pelosi said. Congress could investigate Trump's finances in an impeachment proceeding, but it can't do so without launching the formal process of impeachment, they write, concluding that Trump's brief can be construed as an invitation to commence impeachment proceedings. In those proceedings, Trump's attitudes toward our Constitution's checks and balances, in addition to evidence of obstruction of justice, must play a key role. Thank you very much. That's what I'm talking about. Get his Humpty Dumpty ass out of the White House, okay? I don't think it can be that hard. I know I'm being bad, huh? It just gets me that he... Anyway, I gotta share something. Okay, that's not there. I got to share something with you guys. If you have not read it or been on the internet and seen, I believe it was Monday of this week, 25 psychiatrists gathered together at Harvard University to talk about, do they see Trump's having a mental problem? All 25 psychiatrists said, yes, he has a mental problem, and Congress or the representative, Nancy Pelosi, get it together and get this man out. He's got some very strong mental issues, okay? He's definitely made it prevalent in the last 3 years to us, but it just is amazing to me that 25 psychiatrists met at Harvard for a meeting about Trump's mental estate, and they all agreed. Isn't that something, y'all? All 25 agreed. The man, woo-woo-woo-woo, upstairs, okay? All right, now, back at sports for a minute. So let me tell y'all what's going on in the hockey championship. You know, the Blues and the Bruins is 3-3, so this is the deciding game. Who is going to be the champions of hockey? So right now, it's the end of the second, and the Blues are 2, Boston Bruins 0. So right now, the Blues are winning. Okay, I'm pulling for them. I hope they do win because the Bruins have been 5, 6, 7 times. Ain't like y'all ain't weren't trying to have a legacy of so many wins, which they do. But it's just, that was kind of funny. So anyway, the Blues 2, Bruins 0, and they're in the second quarter. Now, on the Major League Baseball, we got one out. It's the bottom of the 6th, Pittsburgh 6, and Atlanta 6. Oh, they're tied up with one out, bottom of the 6th. Okay, bottom of the 4th, we got Detroit 2 and Kansas City 1 and 2 outs. At the end of the 6th, we got Milwaukee 2, Houston 3, 0 outs, and that's the end of the 6th. Now the final, Oakland beat Tampa Bay 6-2. Cincinnati beat Cleveland 7-2. Wow. Chicago beat Colorado 10-1. Damn, Chicago, you just went in there and beat them like a stepchild, huh? Don't come in here no more. Okay, and Texas 3. Boston beat Texas. Boston 4, Texas 3. And one more final. Oh, I can't see. Let me pull this right at the end. Arizona 2 over PUB. I'm sorry, I can't know who that. Oh, Philadelphia. Arizona beat Philadelphia 2-0. Okay. Now, the NBA, you know, we're in the championship now between Toronto and Golden State. The game will be on tomorrow night at 6 p.m. on ABC, and it will be game 6. So this is getting good. I don't know who you guys are going for. I'm going for Golden State because I'm a West Coast girl, okay? But both teams, I wish you both the best. Whoever is the winner, I'm sure that you deserved it. So anyway, remember that tomorrow night. Oh, and let me tell you, Toronto don't have any injuries either. Hello. So just to let you know, because Golden State does, and that does make a difference who has injuries. So just a thought, just to think about. But anyway, I'm pulling for Golden State. Okay, now let's see. The World Cup, Australia, oh, I can't even see it. Australia is playing PAK, but I can't get the score, so I'm sorry. WWC, we got FT, NGA 2 over KOB. I don't know who that is. The next final score, Germany 1 over ESP 0, and France 2 over Norway 1. Norway is the winner. All right, so that's your sports for this week. Hope everybody got, and Durant is out. He underwent, you guys know he got hurt the other night. Why the cop put, the coach put him back in? He wasn't quite healed up. But he had a surgery today on his ruptured Achilles. So we'll just see how, you know, see how that goes. But, yeah. So, anyway, that is the news for Wednesday, June, what is today? For June 12th. okay, on the Essence of Success Radio Network. Thank you, everybody, for joining me today. I do appreciate it, and the chat room are on the phone. And I hope that your rest of the week will go real good. Don't forget to come back on Friday at 6 p.m. It's the music show, Friday Traffic Jams. You know, I got to get y'all home safely listening to the music. You know, like you can listen to it on your phone coming home, plug it into the dash so you don't get in trouble while you're listening to the show. But anyway, Friday, 6 p.m., Friday Traffic Jam, so I will see you back then. If no one has told you they love you today, well, I do, and I hope the rest of the week goes very good for you and that you are blessed. Thank you again for listening to the show, and I'm out.